Yeah, good morning. We've welcomed Holy Spirit, and we welcome each one of you. So welcome, welcome, welcome. And, you know, there's a lot of empty seats this morning, and one of the things that we're really praying for, well, as a church, you know that we're really praying for is breakthrough with healing. And particularly in this year, you know, we're going to push through in that. But a lot of these empty seats are because people are unwell. And that, doesn't that get you cross? Gets me cross. Gets me cross that the enemy is keeping people locked in sickness. So, you know, one of the things this year is to really press through in this and just see breakthrough for that. So there's lots of things we're going to be talking about this morning. And slightly different again, because obviously as a leadership team, we're just going to impart vision and hope and just hopefully stir you as what we as a church are going to be looking to God for in this coming year.
All the leadership team is sharing this morning. So, okay. Last Sunday, obviously for those that were here, we did what we called Expectation Sunday. So we were really wanting to stir your hearts of your expectations with Father for this coming year. And us as a family together, expectations. So this Sunday, we want to fuel those expectations. And we want to do that through impartation. There is power in impartation. So we want to bring this impartation through reminding us of what the vision is for us as a family here, but also casting what is happening in 2019. And we're going to do that as a whole team. So all eight of us will be involved. But at the outset, I'd just like you to remember two things as we go through this morning. The first is this. Our uniqueness, because we are unique. Even in the kingdom, we are all unique. Our uniqueness as a family is that God has given us a vision that the church and this center that we live in is one. So when we talk about church or talk about center, we're talking about one this morning. They're not this. We're not church here on a Sunday and it's center Monday to Friday. No, our vision is that they are both one together. And the second thing I'd like you to remember, but is really a prayer from us as well, that what you receive this morning is impartation, not information. And that's really important, because we want you to catch what we are sharing. Because if you catch something, you own it. And we want you to own this. You are a part of what we are sharing this morning. This isn't a leadership thing that we're just telling you about. We are doing this together as family together. And we're on a journey of faith in that regards. So I'm going to start with our vision. This is the vision of the church and the center. I'm just going to read through what they are. So our vision is that we love. To demonstrate how much God loves each person for who they are, irrespective of their personal situations. And this vision is a work in progress. We are not a perfect church. We are not a perfect people. But we have a God and a Holy Spirit and a Son who is taking us on that journey. So our vision is that we facilitate, that the center would be a resource to both the community we live in and for the kingdom of God. That we regenerate. We want to participate in seeing spiritual regeneration of this town and region through the working out of God's love. Some of these things we are beginning to see birth. And that we would serve. We want to be intentional in being a catalyst for change by working with others in serving our community. Now, we're not there. If we were there, this wouldn't be a vision. That's what vision is. It's beyond where we are. But also, we have a mission. Now, every time someone walks in this building, they walk under our mission statement. And it's this. It is our aim to be a church family living out the love of God in all we do and to all we meet. That's our desire. That's our vision. That's our mission. And throughout this morning, I want you to remember that the vision and the mission are the plumb line for the church and the center. What we plan as a church, we place against the vision and the mission. How we develop this center, we place against the mission and the vision. And so I want to start and finish with a little challenge to you. When was the last time you read the prophetic booklet that we've given each member here? When was the last time you looked through it? As in challenge to encourage you, because it's important to keep fresh in our minds, because a lot of what we share this morning is weaving out of those prophetic words that God has spoken over us. And so now we're going to come up as various members of the team and we're going to impart what God is sharing with us and what God is doing with us this year. So, Jacqueline.
So, in 2020, Julian Adams, who is a prophet from South Africa, had a prophetic word over us as a church. And part of that prophetic word was, I will cause you to be a significant voice. A significant voice even to other nations, even to other continents, and you will be a resource. You will be a resource church. And the seeds of that prophetic word, that we would be a resource to both community and kingdom, I believe, are when we are going to be offering basic SOZO training, which is in a couple of weeks' time. So that's the 25th and the 26th of January. Now, SOZO is an inner healing ministry that aims to get people connected to the Godhead, connected to Father, connected to Son, connected to Holy Spirit. And when you do that, then that enables you to have tools to be able to equip you to live life well. Now, we have over 40 people booked onto that conference now. And some are coming from Iceland, and some are coming from Denmark. So I don't know where the others are coming from. Some are coming from Wolverhampton and different places. But, you know, that's the seed of the prophetic word, that we are a resource and a community to the kingdom. Now, you may not be people that are actively involved in the training, but I would encourage you as a church, if you want to get behind this and be a part of this, then there's other ways that you can be included and you can help out. So we're going to need some help with some PA. We're going to need hosting and lifts, and maybe you want to bake a cake, and just to make us so that we're a really welcoming conference centre and lovely people to be with. So you can be a part in any way that you would want to. And if that's your heart, then come and see me. But I find that encouraging. At the start of the year, the seed of that prophetic word is coming about. And then in September, 28th and 29th of September, we will be working with the churches together, and we're putting on an event that is called Happy Heads Mental Health Training. I don't know if you remember Helen McSweeney that was here as part of the Eastgate team last year, but she is somebody that is involved in this. I'm not too sure quite how it's going to, whether we're going to involve members of the community to come in as well, but the whole point is that it's looking at seven areas of life that will help to bring balance to the mind and the body. And it's for all ages, and it's using a visual tool. It's using a balance ball. You know what? In this day and age, we've got lots of people in the church and outside of the church that need to know how to bring a healthy balance to mind, body and soul. So I think this is going to be really exciting, and it's exciting that we're going to be able to do this working with the churches together. So that's two events that I just really want to stir you to be encouraged to pray about, but also consider what you can do to be involved. I was going to say Liz is coming up, but Liz isn't coming up because she's actually having to help with the children. So the next slide is going to be I'm Liz. Developing a supernatural evangelistic lifestyle. And this is an event that's again hosted
through Eastgate. Fiona, you might recognise, she came a couple of years ago as part of a team, but her and her husband have a really encouraging ministry, particularly within evangelism. So Saturday 9th of March, you really need to put this in your diary. You're going to be really stirred and excited. And I know we do evangelism, you know, over and over again, but their mantra is anytime, any place, anywhere. I like that.
What Liz was going to share was she doesn't find evangelism as something that comes naturally. And there's always this kind of difficult thing as a Christian. I've got to witness. I've got to tell people, and it's really scary. And what happens if I tell them, and then in my workplace they all think I'm stupid, or they laugh at me, or whatever. And you kind of end up with this kind of crushing thing of, I'm supposed to do this, but I'm rubbish at it, and all that. I had that for years and years and years. And Liz has got that, and she's like, I really want to do this, but I don't know how. And this course that the Gilpins are doing, I think, will be such a lovely kind of practical way of helping you. It's not one where they make you do kind of things where you're like, what the heck is that? It's stuff that's actually going to help you in life, just in normal everyday life, just to be able to bring God's love into situations and hopefully in a way that's unique to you. So you might not be the most incredible speaker, but it might be something that you do, or a promise that you keep, or whatever it is. The Gilpins are amazing, lovely people who will just help bring out something in you so that as you go about your normal everyday life, you're going to be able to just share the love of Jesus that bit more. So I'd really urge you to come to that weekend, because I know evangelism is always this kind of scary word, unless you're an evangelist, and then it's like, yes, come on. But yeah, come, because I think it'll be really worthwhile.
Very quick one, just to say, we've got another weekend from the Eastgate team, which will be next year, 9th to the 12th of May, this year, hang on. Wow, doesn't time pass quickly? This year we've got... Sorry, okay. We had an amazing weekend last year, which was fantastic. I know there was a couple of things that weren't to some people's taste, but at the end of the day, the team bought some amazing stuff, and a lot of us got blessed and encouraged by the stuff that happened. And actually, they're still living in the benefit of those things that the team brought to us. And we're having another weekend. It will be totally different, because we're actually working out the program with the team now. So it's going to be something that's going to be different. But God wants to encourage and bless us. And they're going to bring a team that they pray about and actually say, who would be the right people to come to Rugeley? And so we'll need to look forward to that. And it's one of those things, put it in your diary, because it's actually going to be such a blessing, not only for us as a family of Rugeley Community Church, but us as individuals. And in a sense, it will give us that strength in our inner being to do the stuff that we're talking about, that Chris is just talking about with evangelism. So put it in your diary.
Good morning. Yes, the upper room. In the book of Acts, Acts 1, 12 to 14, it describes this kind of meeting place as being the upper room. It says, Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. I just think that's a really nice example, illustration, that there's lots more in Acts sort of describing this kind of meeting place, which they met in several times. It was described as being quite a large room. It says that there was room for 120 people. I like the way that is kind of written in there to describe the types of people who were there. You know, it wasn't just, you know, Jesus' disciples and no one else. You know, it talks about other people that were there. I mean, for example, it says the women. So, yeah, you know, lots of women, more than, you know, just a few. Otherwise, it would say. And Jesus with his brothers. I think that's a nice invitation as well, because we're Jesus' brothers and sisters as well. We've got the same Father, so you know when people are gathering together, we can be part of that as well. And I like the way that it's phrased as well, with one accord in prayer and supplication. I looked up supplication in the dictionary. I mean, I know you all guys all know what it means, but I had to look it up. It is to kind of ask for something eagerly. It's almost a case of like begging for something. It's a very strong word to describe, you know, wanting something so bad, you know, begging for it, nagging for it, asking again, asking powerfully, asking strongly. But there's also a kind of touch of humbleness about the asking as well. So that's what the disciples, that's basically the early church, that's what they were doing. They were gathering in this upper room to seek God and to ask him for what was on their heart in a real power. So we are going to have an upper room here at the centre. And you might be wondering, we don't have any stairs here. We don't have like an upstairs in the centre. Well, no, we don't. But it's just a way of connecting with the early church to kind of remind ourselves that when we gather as a church to prayer, to pray and to seek God, you know, this is what the early church were doing. And it's the same God. So, you know, any kind of limitations are there for us. You know, it's the same God. God's got the power. We believe that God wants to do immeasurably more with us as a church and in our prayer time. So, you know, if we come with the right attitude and the right expectation and we seek God with power and we pray with supplication, then we believe that we will see God do great things amongst us. So, in a nutshell, what is it? It's a prayer meeting. And it's going to be every third Sunday of the month. So, that's next Sunday. It's going to be the first upper room prayer time. It's going to be in the Pear Tree Room, 7:30? 7 till 8. Yeah, said with confidence. 7 till 8 o'clock. So we'd really like you to be there. We'd really like you to see it as, you know, a really important part of being here as a church, is to gather and to pray. And, you know, we want to kind of raise our expectations of what's going to happen in those prayer meetings. We can gather together and pray in one accord together. So, yeah, hope that's clear. Next slide is just a flavour of some of the speakers that we'll be having in 2019. Should be some familiar faces on there. Dave and Julie Connolly are coming back again, and Tony and Kay Smith. You know, we partner with those people. We kind of seek their wisdom and their guidance for this church. And also Alan Cass, who was part of the Eastgate team. Again, he was here when the team came before. So again, hopefully a lot of you guys know him and know that, again, he's got a real heart for us as a church as well. So all good things to look forward to.
Right, worship. I think what I'd like to do is just pause here for a second and just pray. Yeah, I just echo the words of Moses in Exodus when he says, "Who is there like you? Who is there like you, O Lord, among the gods? Majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders." Lord, we turn our attention to you because this is all about you. You are so perfect, so holy, so wonderful. Thank you, Lord, that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you're in perfect love, perfect harmony for eternity, and you decided you wanted to share that. So you created us to love us. That is our purpose, our whole reason for being. It's not the number 42. is to be loved by you. I just want to pause on that before we talk about worship, because Father God, you're so good that as a perfect God, you would choose to love us still when we are so imperfect, and you choose to sacrifice your own Son to make us perfect again so we can spend eternity with you. What an incredible, incredible Father. What an incredible Savior who would give his life. And what an incredible Holy Spirit who would come to live in us and fuel us, empower us, guide us, so that we can worship in the way we're designed and enjoy the love that we're created to enjoy. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, and this is what worship is all about. It is recognizing who God is, first and foremost, and who we are. And I am so, so privileged to be overseeing worship in this church. I've gone on an incredible journey in my life from where I hated worship several years ago. I was in a bad place, left church for a long time, and here I am now talking passionately about worship. I started overseeing the worship group in the summer last year, and immediately just kind of challenged the guys to, whatever you do, whether you're preparing worship, whether you're leading worship, is to turn your attention and your affection to God. Be constantly partnering with the Holy Spirit. What do you want today? Every single Sunday is a unique experience for us. We don't want it to be formula. We don't want it to just be five songs, preach, tea and coffee. That might be right one day, but then the next Sunday it's something different, because we're created to worship this incredible God, and the Holy Spirit wants to do that through us. So we need to be open to him. And the worship group have been absolutely amazing. They've risen to the challenge, every single one of them. And you might have noticed at different times over the last few months, the words aren't on the screen, or we seem to be singing a song that the worship group don't seem as confident on as they did as the previous ones. That's because we're going off piste. That's because we're listening to the Holy Spirit. He's saying something. Alan's demonstrated that this morning. I don't think that was planned. But it brings us closer into God's presence. And it's a fairly terrifying thing when you're at the front doing that. So I really appreciate the team and the AV guys at the back, because they have to scrabble around at the back like, what song are they singing? Where are the words? If that happens, just close your eyes and just soak to the music. Just push into what you're hearing the singers sing, because it's truth they're singing over you. I just want to read you the vision of the worship group, just to give you an idea of what we're trying to do as a team, and therefore as a church. So our vision simply is, we surrender to the Holy Spirit and work with him to lead our church into Christ-centered worship, where the atmosphere is so full of his presence that darkness cannot survive. So there's that aspect of centering in on Christ, because that's why we're made, that's why we worship. He is the King. We worship him. And the more we do that, the more we turn our attention, our affection to him this year, the more we will encounter him. We're longing for encounter in this church, where when people come in that door, whoa, what's that? That's something different. That they can't quite describe it, and that's God, that's his actual presence here. And the added benefit of that is, when his presence is so thick, so heavy, so real, the darkness can't survive. And that's what we are going for as a kind of extra part of our vision, is that there's an atmosphere so thick with his presence that no disease, affliction or evil spirit can survive in it. It literally drops off at the door. Can you imagine that? You come in that door over there, and the cancer that you have, or the unforgiveness, or the affliction that's been taunting you for ages, it can't come in. You come in, and it drops off. You leave it behind. You come into this just God-filled environment where people, lots of imperfect people, just have their attention and affection turned to him. That's all we've got to do. So I'm really excited about everyone coming along on that journey with us this year. Now imagine if we all do that together in here, the effect it's going to have. We believe it's going to have a big effect on you and on this town, on our ability to evangelize effortlessly because it just kind of pours out of us, on our ability to live good Christian lives. I mean, what even is that, a good Christian life? It's a natural overflow from that place in us where we're just thrilled by God. What it looks like in practice on a Sunday morning through this year is going to be different every week. Sometimes we might have a time of worship and then a preach. Other times we might want to put the preach earlier and then use worship to respond to it. So it's going to be different every Sunday, and I'd urge you to kind of press in and go with it. And just one extra thing to share with that is, if worship doesn't grab you, it really grabs me. I spend on and off all day, every day, worshipping, because it really grabs me. But I really appreciate that for some people it doesn't come that naturally. And I just encourage you that a few years ago I would stand in the church surrounded by hundreds of people, arms in the air, worshipping, and I would stand there like, I hate this. I'm not putting my arms in the air. All these people are so fake. They're all trendy Christians. Look at them in their cool jeans and tight-fitting tops. But I used to stand there with this resentment, this partly because I wanted that. I wanted to have that passion, to be thrilled by God, and to be able to lift my hands in the air and not care about what people think. And now God's taken me on an incredible journey where he has shown me how much he loves me. I believe that he can do that for every single one of you if you don't feel that at the moment. Your job is just to keep yourself open. Keep asking, keep thirsty for it. And we're creating an environment in here where you can come each week and at other meetings and events where you can keep searching, keep hungry. We'll keep praying over you as well. And every single person in this room will encounter him, because that's what he promises, more and more of his presence, more and more of his goodness. So that's what our worship team wants to do this year. That is very exciting. So, yeah, thank you for that. Thank you for being part of it. Right, next one. 21st Century Leaders. Liz and I are going to be overseeing a group called 21st Century Leaders this year. It's a group that's been running for a while, but it's having a little bit of a makeover. And these are people that we see either as leaders at the moment who are kind of overseeing different things in the church, or people that we feel there's potential in that we want to grow. So if you're not in this group at the moment and you think, hang on a minute, I really want to grow and I feel I have some potential, come and talk to me and Liz. What we're planning for this year is that we want to grow this group, so each and every person in the group knows their identity, explores their role through this year, what God's called them to, and the leadership team commits to trying to do our best to facilitate that. Because the way we're going to change this town is going to be through worship, through prayer, through evangelism, all sorts of things, and it needs big people. Because at the end of this year, we want our church to be ready to steward a revival. What happens if 100 extra people turn up now? With all of their baggage and pastoral issues and eagerness and all of that, can we cope with it? So this year we're getting ready for what we believe is coming. So that's quite an exciting thing. So we start that tonight and we do that once a month, and there'll be additional things in there as well. But do come and talk to me about that if you're suddenly thinking, what? I'd quite like the sound of that.
Okay. I've put this slide together, well, just to remind us of where we were at, actually, in 2017. I shared the vision for our children and young people in 2017, and it was for them to find their true identity through knowing the love of Jesus, to dream, think big, and have faith without limitations. To walk in royalty as God's sons and daughters. To pray for one another and their friends and family. And enjoy exploring Father's heart. And that vision still is very much at the heart of Searchlight. If you remember back to the time when I just shared that, God had given me a picture of sections of frame connecting together and spoke to me about building a strong and wide foundation for our children and those that will add to and join us in the future. And I began to recognise the wealth of talent and gifting that was here in this place amongst you guys as adults. And a desire to draw out the gold from you. And so last year we developed Connect Four. So we developed the Connect Four and the symbols there of the four. So it was music, and it was Bible story, and it was prayer, and it was chat and catch. It was creative craft. And so we used that framework in which to explore God, and we hung it on that. But in September, I realised we needed to broaden this Connect Four, this kind of four-armed building block, so that the children's leaders would not become burnt out and overstretched. So while chatting to, and you know you, the guys in this room and others, I chatted to you in September, October about, okay, what can you offer in here? We need some help here. And just draw out the gold, really. Draw out your gifting in various areas. And a new, broader building block has emerged. And so we've still kept the element of the old. We've kept the music, we've kept the craft, and we've kept the Bible story, and we've kept the prayer. But you can see we've added some more exciting and creative things. So we now have around 15 leaders, leaders, as I say, adults, who are prepared to just come on board with these children and develop it into a wider and broader foundation. And as you can see, we have lots of fun, we have teaching, and we explore God together in a variety of ways. There's social action in there, as you can see, too. And developing friendships, which is really important. So I'm looking forward to being part and continuing to be part of this new venture for the children's team.
I'm going to mention, have a chat about our lovely young people in our church. In this coming year, we do church with youth on a Sunday morning, most Sundays, but we also have youth on a Friday night, and we also have Hay, which is an event we go to once a month at Whitemore Lakes, which is fantastic. It's sort of a really vibrant, fun social space, and they do all sorts of crazy games like I'm a youth leader, get me out of here, circus skills, and just really fun, engaging stuff. Going forward this year, we're looking to really focus our efforts on doing youth once a month in church on a Friday and making it a really big event on a Friday evening. That actually it's going to be something that is fun, it's going to have a theme, and it's going to sort of be a real beacon of hope for our youth. And not only our youth in church, but our youth in community. So at the beginning of this year, we're going to start planting some seeds for actual proper outreach for the youth of Rugeley, because there's nothing much for our young people in Rugeley. And us as a youth team, so that's Alison, Amanda, and myself, we really want to provide a space using our amazing centre that is safe, that is full of love and God's love. On a Friday night, it isn't going to be evangelism, as in it's going to be a message and it's going to be really church-driven, but it's going to be evangelism, like evangelistic lifestyle. We are going to be sharing the love of Jesus by just bringing Holy Spirit into the midst of our young people on a Friday night. So this is going to start quite small with our guys. We're going to get used to meeting back in the centre because we've been meeting in people's homes, which has been fantastic. We've had a lovely year last year of meeting in our lovely church members' homes, building up relationship with church family, which has been really lovely. And our youth have really enjoyed it. So I want to say thank you for anyone who's been kind enough to open their homes up to our guys over the last year. But now that we're moving back into the centre, I'd like to invite any of you guys who would like to be with our youth. And I don't mean to say you need to lead a session or anything scary like that. If you do, fantastic. But just to be with them, to make tea and coffee, to have a chat. We want our young people to take the relationships that they've built with you guys over the last year and be able then to open the doors to our youth in our out in our community, so that they'll be able to link our new guys in easier and better, because they know that this is such a safe place, this is a good place, this is a happy place. And this is a place where they can be them, they don't have to pretend to be anybody else, and it is a safe place where they can discuss their issues and discuss what their life is like and discuss what is great about life and what isn't so great about life, how life affects them in a good way, how life affects them in a bad way. And we can speak God's truth and God's love into their life. And hopefully they'll ask questions, they'll be like, oh, why do you feel like that? And I can see how that is helpful. Why is that? And we can share God's love with them on a level that isn't in their face, that isn't pushy, but is actually our life. You know, we know that God is the best thing ever. But we've got to find a way of sharing that. And it's the same with the Gilpins when they come in and talking about evangelistic lifestyle. That's what we want. That's what we want for everybody. But we feel that, you know, youth is my thing. It's my passion. So I want to have that for our guys, for our young people. And just for something that everybody knows, this verse in Timothy, 1 Timothy. So Paul's writing a letter to Timothy. That Timothy was quite young at the time, young in faith and young in age apparently, when he was in Ephesus carrying some pretty heavy stuff, leading a group of people. And Paul says, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Now, those are like really big things, aren't they? Setting the bar, they're sort of saying set the bar pretty high. But I love the fact that that is actually an encouragement for, not only for Timothy, but it's the whole church in Ephesus. That was an actual thing that Paul hadn't gone, oh, don't forget about the young people. You know, they don't matter. You know, they're not old enough to do anything yet. No, he actually says, don't let someone say, oh, you can't do that. Or, no, you're not ready for that. No, actually, Paul was saying, no, guys, you got to build people up. Got to get alongside them and go, you know what? God is the same God, whether you're 11, 12, 13, 14, 2, 3, across the board, doesn't matter your age. And I feel like that's what we want to help our young people with in this year coming forward. So on Sunday mornings, it's a great time for us to explore what God actually has for us as and young people, as kids of mums and dads who come to church. And what actually does that mean? What does that mean for me as a young person? And how does that affect me? And so we're going to explore how that does affect, hopefully, our young people, and give them space that is safe and that we can be real, and we'll have real integrity in our youth group, and we can be honest, and we can work through some stuff, and we can honestly explore our faith together. And I'm really excited what God's going to be doing in this year with our youth and us as a church with them. So I'm going to end on, if you would like to support our lovely young people in any way that you can think, whether it is a tea and coffee thing, whether it is just coming alongside for a chat, whether it's helping on a Sunday morning, whether it's helping once a month on a Friday evening, that would be lovely. And it's 7:30 till 9 when we meet on a Friday evening. But come and have a chat with me if that floats your boat. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Jane. Can we just, I want to pause as Chris has paused. Can we just close our eyes? Because our prayer is this. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that what has been shared so far catches in our hearts and outworks in our actions. Because we are family on mission together. Lord, I pray that what has been so shared so far, and perhaps what is still to come, will stir in our hearts a passion to be a part of that particular thing. But Holy Spirit, help us to process what is being shared. I pray that you will keep reminding us throughout this coming week and the weeks to come of what you have for us as a people here. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I just want to focus in as we're closing on the centre, but remembering that the centre and the church are one. We don't count them as two separate entities. They are one entity. And you know, I know many of us are not involved in the week in the centre, but we are all part of what goes on here, because it's the church as well as the centre. And so we see this as one hub that serves both the church and the community. And I know hub is a very common word that's used now. It's a hub for this and a hub for that. But you know, when I look back, we were using that word in 2009 because we felt that was God-given to us. This isn't just something we've jumped on the bandwagon with. We feel this is what God has called us to be. And as one hub, as one church, as one centre, we really believe this is a place of well-being, and this is to be a place of well-being. And that's physical, spiritual, and emotional. It's a wholeness of meeting. And that vision, we believe, gets implemented through the church, through the centre, and through the community that we're involved with. And it comes from a basis of meeting any person's need at the point where they cannot or have not the means to meet that need themselves. I'll read that again because it's important. We're out working that vision from a basis of meeting any person's need at the point where they cannot or have not the means to meet that need themselves. Now, we know as a church, we can't do everything. But as a hub, we believe that the church in the centre, it involves signposting people as well to outwork that vision. We don't have the answer or the means to everything, but we work with those people who we know and we value, because we want to change the community. We want to change the atmosphere of the community. You know, if a hug can change an atmosphere in a high street, which it did yesterday, how much more will what we are doing with Father change? So just before Dave is coming to share about how we're going to move forward, I really wanted to just share some statistics with you about what God is doing with your centre. Because this is your centre. And I'm going to use some statistics that were put together in 2017. And what's remarkable, as you will see, well, you won't see because I don't have 2018 statistics, but 2018 was a lot busier than 2017 with the centre. So we had a number, this is 2017, remembering 2018 was busier. We had a number of local and national community groups and organisations providing sporting fitness, self-help groups, well-being, additional language classes, parent and family support sessions, counselling services, and other community-related events. There were more than 20 organisations using the centre on a regular basis, multi times in the week. And there were approximately 45 groups and organisations that used the centre for one-off events or meetings. That was happening in your centre. There were strong and are continuing strong relationships being formed with local, district and county councils, as well as local organisations. And all this is having a positive impact in the local area. This centre, this church, is changing the atmosphere and culture of this town. Yeah, it might be seeds, but it's an outworking of the vision and mission that God has given us. We had regional gymnastic finals. And the amazing thing of that was there was none left on the roof when we came in on the Sunday. We had a charity funding fair, employment information fair. We had musical workshops and various other community promotions. We also and continue to host a day centre a daycare centre, Rugeley Food Bank, and we provide meeting rooms for local, regional and national charities and organisations. As you know, we hosted the Environment Agency and its contractors as they built the flood alleviation. And again, remember, 2018 was busier than 2017. But data collected in 2017 estimated, and yes, some of this was repeat footfall, but 19,000 people went through this centre. Yeah. You show me a church where 19,000 people have visited. You say, well, this isn't a church, it's a centre. No, this is the church. People say this place is different when they come in it. We've had conversations with people. People come back again because they like the atmosphere that's in this centre. So if 19,000 came through, yes, some of that was repeat footfall, but they still came back. Who knows what it was in 2018? That's something we need to look at. And I just want to finish you with this final statistic that Kevin provided me with, as he did most of those other things along with Alan when they did 2017, which we appreciate. The bookings taken for the first quarter of 2019 are greater than the whole of 2016. So it shows you how God is moving this centre on. And in moving this centre on, things have to change to help the centre keep moving on. Because we're only at the beginning of the vision and the mission that God is. We haven't arrived. We are on that journey. And so Dave is going to come and share how we're moving the centre forward.
I just want to share some news from the centre. We've had the stats. This is an email that was sent round to us from Alan about our next director's meeting. But I think it's worth sharing. This is a conversation Alan had with Dave Webb and Rosie Rosenberg. It's a new year with new and exciting opportunities and faith steps to take. I was reflecting with Dave Webb and Rosie Rosenberg on Monday. In April, we have been in the new centre, which will be our home, is our home, for 4 years. And what a 4 years it's been. We have seen fulfilled prophecies, new people joining us, employment opportunities, increased bookings, financial stability, recognition with authorities and high-profile individuals. New services and organisations wanted to use us and work with us, and many other things just in this short time that we have been here. None of these would be possible without God. He has enabled us and equipped us to reach out and step out in faith for Him into our community and beyond. Oh, sorry. I don't know where I've got that from. Anyway, but I was, well, that's an incredible email. It's just fantastic email. And I was thinking how true that is. And we do need to stop and think what has happened over 4 years' time and how exciting that is. I think back to when we were dreaming about being in a new building, about dreaming about affecting the community. How amazing our God is. We opened the building and we employed our building manager, Dave Webb. He isn't here this morning, so I'll pass this on. But the work he has done has literally changed the face of the building. So if you remember, look at the picture there. Who remembers all the graffiti down the side? That's literally changed the building, and he's maintained the building, and it is just a great place. I have to say, when people come inside, they're amazed at the building, and as Richard says, they want to come back. That's fantastic. We were blessed right at the beginning with lots of volunteers coming each day to look after reception. But as we got busier and busier and busier, the directors took a faith step and employed two coordinators. What an amazing difference Lisa and Kevin have made. They have been the front face of this building and our organisation, and that has been outstanding. And a lot of the success, by their hard work and faithfulness in our Father God, has brought more business back, has made the place successful. The contracts and the systems that they've put us into place have put this building on the map. And actually, this building has been around for years, but let's not forget, a lot of people thought it was dead and gone, and it's back on the map. Then we had the amazing skills from Matt Ball, who was with us for a year, and his skills in the IT area and just his general support for what we were doing was outstanding. It was just great to have somebody decidedly younger than I am who could answer the questions. I have to say also a huge thank you to Sheila. What an amazing, fantastic job she's done looking after our accounts, both for the centre and the church. No small task. And I have to say, I have been blessed as uptaking the role as centre manager by these people. This place has been successful by the work of those people. It has been made an amazing place by all of those people. God has blessed us through those people. And the centre continues to get busier and busier. With God's favour and the hard work from those people, the centre continues to be and is growing in its light in this community. Taking that into account, the directors, after quite a bit of prayer and discussion, decided they needed to take another huge step of faith to assist this growth in the centre, to make it all that it should be and what God has plans for this. And to that end, the directors have decided to appoint an office manager. This is going to be a temporary post, so that we can get some consistency within the centre and actually bring the centre to a new place and get funding that we desperately want to have a centre manager. Somebody who would have a permanent post to oversee everything that's happening in this place. And to that end, the directors have appointed Chris Fielding. Definitely a whoopee. And so he's actually going to take on that job, and he starts in February, which is absolutely fantastic. We're going to have somebody who can actually oversee things and be here permanently. And we're not going to allow him to go home. No, sorry, just permanently in the week. I think we have an understanding that he's allowed to go home occasionally. But that's just, he's got such a heart and vision for what we're doing at the centre. And that's going to make an amazing difference of all that this centre and the church is doing in this community. And I just think that's fantastic. And so I'm going to just hand over to Chris, and he's actually just going to share a bit about his vision in that way. Give him a round of applause.
Exciting. I just wanted to share a little bit about the journey I've gone on to get to this point, because hopefully it's a God story. It's something I hope can encourage you in your own walk and whatever your dreams are. And this is about impartation today as well. I want to impart that to you because it's quite a transformation. So my background was, I was brought up in a Christian family, but I totally did not understand God's love for me. It was all about meeting certain conditions and trying not to make him cross and all that. I managed to sustain that through my 20s, but eventually just got so worn out with it and disillusioned that I came away from church and I just couldn't do it anymore. I'd had enough of trying to please this God who was too perfect to please. And I had a few years away from church, but my life at that point got steadily worse and worse. I still had my incredible, amazing wife, and we had Izzy and we had Phoebes, but everything else in my life started to really go downhill. I got made redundant. We had to move in with Liz's parents. We had to leave our house. We'd spent lots of money and time taking from a kind of almost derelict house to something really nice. I then couldn't get a job for a long time, and I started to really, really struggle with life, get very resentful, started to drink, and in 2013, I was at an absolute all-time low, a rock bottom. And on a very fateful day, I let go. I said, I can't do this anymore. I don't know what to do. Suddenly, I was out of any more ideas. And the next day is when I had my famous airing cupboard moment, which, to cut a long story short, was God just pouring out his love on me and showing me with no doubt whatsoever that he loves me. That just transformed me completely. None of my circumstances changed, but I started saying, right, now God, I'm stuck in Rugeley. I hate this place. Where can I go? I'll go anywhere. You know, I'll take that step. And kept praying for it. Nothing was coming. And then I was learning about prophecy and all this, and God will speak to you, and nothing was coming. But I was really enthusiastic. You know, I'll go anywhere, you know, like Bristol or Sheffield, you know, trendy cities like that. You know, I'll step out and go there. And then I was sitting on Richard and Jacqueline's sofa, and just suddenly had this epiphany. I'm already where God wanted to take me. He took me to Rugeley. When I was far away from him, he was operating in my life. His providence was doing incredible things. He was turning whatever the devil intended for harm to good. The devil was trying to crush me, taking everything from me, pushing me down. And God said, it's all right, I'm just going to turn it all for good. So I was still living with my parents-in-law. I still didn't have a job, but oh my goodness, the joy in my heart and this growing excitement that Rugeley is the place where I'm supposed to be. Rugeley is where God's brought me to. And that must have been 2014, and that has grown and grown and grown to the point now where my heart is so for Rugeley. And what a pleasure it was yesterday standing in the town centre giving out free hugs and seeing the looks of either joy or confusion or revulsion on people's faces. I mean, this is the town I love. Yes, that's rather grown and grown and grown to the point where I started to get a bit frustrated. Like, we pray, God, your kingdom come, and we believe that, you know, we have the creator of the whole universe on our side against this puny little devil, and we can do amazing things, even greater than the work of Jesus we can do here. And yet, our friend died, and there's so many marriage problems, and the young people have got nothing to do, so they get involved in petty crime and drinking and drugs. I start to feel quite impotent about this. Like, come on, there's got to be more than this. And a year and a half ago, we were encouraged as a leadership team to write down our dreams. And do you remember we had the dream board out there with different dreams on? Some of them you might have noticed had funny titles. Well, they were all mine. My big one, my main dream, I'm going to read it out because you'll see how God has worked through this. I put revival in Rugeley, including widespread conversions, even every soul in Rugeley saved. That's possible, isn't it? Hope restored, lives changed, people set free, and a resulting community of thriving people who love Jesus, recognize their identity, and ultimately spread the kingdom from Rugeley outwards. Oh, you'd like to live there, wouldn't you? And as a follow-up to that, I put to play a role in facilitating and maintaining this revival, possibly through some form of full-time role in a Rugeley Community Church, liaising with the town, linking the church to the town's needs, telling people about Jesus and discipling new Christians. That was my big dream for my life. And I kept that on my heart. I kept praying into it. I kept looking for opportunities. I became part of the leadership team. I took the invitation to become a director. I got involved in the funding application to try and get some funding for a centre manager here. I constantly kept myself open to any opportunity, and I always saw my long-term reality being living and working in Rugeley. But ultimately, this big application that we put together, we put a lot of hope into this application to get funding for a centre manager for a few years. Dave and Richard have done absolutely incredible things, like really making this centre work. And obviously, Kev and Dave Webb and so many volunteers, Matt, and so many people have poured into it. But it was getting to a point last year where it just wasn't fair on Dave having to put so much of his time in when going through health problems and worries about his grandson. And Richard was getting more and more pulled into the centre and not able to do the stuff that he's paid to do and is passionate about. We needed a centre manager. And so when we got the word back from this big funding trust that said no, oh, that was a good thing. And I'm so glad then that I didn't get, that might be my phone, so I'll put it back like this. The temptation there was to get really disappointed and say, now it's going to be months and months and months till we get funding because we're going to have to go look for it elsewhere. I had a very difficult 2018 for various reasons, and towards the end of the year to get that news, I was like, wow, 2019 is just going to be a year of gritting my teeth and carrying on where God has me and believing. And a week later, Richard and Dave came round and offered me the job of the manager at the centre. So everything changed very suddenly. But I want to encourage you, if you've got a dream that God's put on your heart, he doesn't put that on your heart and then just leave you. He puts it on your heart and then he will constantly give you opportunities to push into that. The devil will throw stuff at it because he's scared of your potential. But God will always keep turning even that for good. And it might take many years, it might take a few minutes, whatever it is, keep pushing in, keep the faith. Whatever that dream is, I'd encourage you to write it down and keep that at the forefront of your mind. Keep praying into it. Share it with people. Get them to encourage you. So what I'm going to be doing from the 11th of February is managing this centre, this funny higgledy-piggledy building, which has just so much potential in it. So I'm going to be managing the staff and the volunteers and the day-to-day running of it. But I'm also going to be exploring the relationships with the councils, with the support agencies, the charities, to grow this into what we would like to be the actual centre of the community. It could be that even the councils or different agencies can work from here a couple of days a week. This place will become a place of real well-being in every way, where when people come in here, they leave better off, spiritually or emotionally or physically. It's a place where God's kingdom is reality, and then it spreads out. And I get to manage that. And if any of you want to have any kind of role here, or volunteer here, whatever, then come to me. I'm going to take a little bit of time, obviously, settling in and stuff, and then we're going to be looking at the future. There's all sorts of things we can look at in terms of the building, the land that we are hopefully getting as part of purchasing the building, what we can do with that in the long term. So it's very exciting, and it is all for God's glory. It is all to see his kingdom come in Rugeley. And he wouldn't give us a building like this and all these resources if he didn't intend on filling it. So as a church in the next few years, this is going to be quite an amazing experience, because we're going to probably have to be at that end of the hall with everyone sitting all the way down, and then we'll probably have to open the doors and have people on the field. And then we're probably going to have satellite churches, and the power station land's going to have a sister church, and then Cannock's going to have to watch out because we're going to send people. You know, it's going to grow. That's my dream. That's what's going to happen. So thank you.
I just want to just to thank Dave for all you've done between the link and the centre and the directors, because I know how challenging that has been, just for time. And, you know, both for Dave and myself, we have desires and things that we want to get involved in the church, which the centre has taken in not a bad way, but it does take time. And I just want to reiterate, Chris is not coming in to maintain this. It's take it on, because, as I said, we are only at the start of this vision that God has given us. When I see the 300-seater annex out there, I see it. Do you believe it? Well, you know, think where we were 4.5 years ago, at the shops, and here we are now. What's going to happen in the next 4.5 years? Well, it's what we're going to be a part of. And all this is a faith journey. There will not be times when we will not step out in faith. Otherwise, it won't involve God. That's part of the relationship. That's part of the deal with God, because it keeps us connected and honed into Him. So we're taking a step with a faith with Chris. That costs, but we're taking that as a family, because we believe God is going to grow this even more. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have teas and coffees. But I want to encourage you, come to next week's prayer meeting, because we want to pray this through. We want to empower it through with the Holy Spirit. We believe it's from Him. Now we're asking Him to grow it in that. So Father, I pray that every word that has been said, let it be of You, Father. And what isn't, let it drop off, Lord. But Lord, I pray, as we leave, as we fellowship, as we have tea and coffee, Lord, may there be nuggets that stay in different hearts that is stirred and has a passion about. But Lord, let us remember the bigger picture of what You have called us to be and what You have called this place to be. And Father, I thank You that we are already affecting this town and atmosphere. But Lord, there is so much more to come. Let us not limit it by what we see or what we think or imagine. But let us be continuously stirred by the vision and mission that You've given us and the word that You have written for us. Lord, I pray, keep speaking to us. Keep our ears attentive to Your whisper. And Lord, keep our hearts and minds open to what You would say. And Lord, I pray that this church will not only be known for its hospitality. I pray it will be known for signs and wonders. I pray it will be known for healings. I pray it will be known as a church that is willing to take that step of faith in whatever You call us to. And Lord, that will be not only in this building, but within the community we live. So Lord, we submit all the morning to You. I pray, impart it and keep imparting it into our hearts, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.